This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Churchill Mortgage. They'll take your personal situation and find the best mortgage option for you. Call Churchill Mortgage today, 855-LOAN-200, or go to churchillmortgage.com.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. So honored that you're tuning in. This is a call-in show. We talk all about what the Bible says about how to live this life and how to manage money and relationships and careers, our marriages, our relationships, all sorts, you know, not just marriages, but with those of you who are dating, and also our parenting and everything in between. So the phone number is 866-357-3283, 866-357-3283. You call in, we'll chat, and you can also email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That email address one more time is chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. And you can reach out on social media as well. My handle is chrisbrownonair. Want to wish you a happy Friday. I don't know if you've got some great plans going into Labor Day weekend or not, but definitely want to wish that happy Friday to you. And I've got to tell you, Amanda, our wonderful associate producer, just a minute ago, this is, I just got to tell you guys, this is kind of random, but she's whining about this $120 vet expense that's just hit her pocketbook today. And she's whining about it. And I forgot, I didn't tell you guys, but like a couple months ago, I told her, I said, just add a zero to that. That's what happened to me. And I was telling her, my dog swallowed a tube sock, folks, swallowed a tube sock. And it was late at night and I had to take her in, take my dog into the emergency room and all the IVs and all that kind of stuff. And $1,200. But guess what, folks? That's why we have the emergency fund. So the emergency became an inconvenience. Big difference. And that's the same thing with Amanda as well. She had the emergency fund. So yes, definitely annoying, but not frantic. Big difference. So that's one of the things we talk about on the show if you're new to the show. But again, Labor Day weekend. And, you know, for those of you that don't have any plans, hey, listen, I hope that you've got, I don't know if you've ever heard that phrase before, create a life that you don't need to vacation from. And some of you who are having the vacation, I know I'm going away this vacation. I'm not doing it because I have to vacation from anything, but it's nice to have a life where you don't have to vacation from because you're just so happy. We know the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:6, godliness with contentment is great gain. So whatever you're doing this weekend, happy Labor Day weekend to you here from Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Again, that number is 866-357-3283. And we've got our first call on the line from Micah. Micah's calling in from Monroe, Louisiana. Micah, how are you?
I'm good, Chris. How are you today?
I'm better every day. How can I help you?
I have a question about credit scores and them going to zero.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little background. I've been an actual avid Dave Ramsey follower. For the last 3 years, I've been debt-free for a little over two. I'm currently on step 3B, okay. And I have almost about a year until I have the full 20% down on my first home. But I, what I've come to find out is that although I've had my accounts closed and all my balances are at zero, and it's been about 2 years, my credit scores currently, they're still showing a poor fields, and I know that if I try to go get a mortgage with those scores, I'm not going to get much in the way of a interest rate. So my plan was, of course, is to have them fall all the way down and have no credit score and then try to apply at Churchill. Now, Dave, I know, says that this process should take about 6 months to a year or so. So I'm kind of wondering if you have any advice as to why mine have not, or steps that I should take so that when a year's time comes due and I go to apply, that I may be able to qualify.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it sounds like you're very educated on the subject. And just to catch everyone up to speed, those listening in, you hear him right. You hear Micah right. He is going for a credit score of zero. That might seem totally crazy if you're just now tuning in, but we don't believe in a high credit score. We just don't, because what does it measure? It measures 35% of your scores based on debt history, 30% is based on debt level, 15% is based on the length of time that you're in debt, 10% is based on new debt, 10% is based on the type of debt. That's nasty. We don't want that, right? The Bible is clear in Proverbs 22:7 that the borrower is enslaved to the lender. So Mike is en route to zero. He is right now not quite there. He is trying to get it to zero, but it's still just registering as poor, which is probably around 350 or so, or 400. And the goal is to get it to zero. Here's the deal. Of course, bankruptcies take about 10 years to get off there. You don't have any bad credit, do you?
No, sir.
Okay. 7 years for delinquencies. But like you said, like David mentioned, 6 months to a year, that's about right. So if it's not falling off of there, your original question, what do? I would call them. I would call not only the Equifax or whatever your report you're getting. I'd probably call all of them.
Okay.
And I would call the original debt as well and say, hey, listen, here's the deal. Here's what I'm going after. Now with Churchill Mortgage, ideally it would be at zero. However, if you do present your income and your low expenses and it's absolutely top heavy where you've got all these assets and you've got all this, it's a very low risk lending situation, they or somebody they can point you towards should be able to do some manual underwriting even with a low credit score that's not at zero but low, just because they have a brain and they can see that you're going to be a great client.
Okay. You know, when I called Churchill a few months ago, the way he explained it to me was that they may be forced to go with a conventional if my scores aren't all the way down. But, next time I give them a call, I'll bring that point up, see if they can maybe point me in the right direction as to someone else.
Yeah, and I have no problems with a conventional loan at all, like the versus another one. I like 15-year conventional, low 3% at a 15-year, and it's your payments no more than 25% of your take-home pay. I like that. There's nothing wrong with that at all.
Do you think that I could qualify for a low 3% interest rate with those bad scores, though, on a conventional?
That's more of a question for them. It's all them calculating risk. And my guess is that your income to debt ratio is so good that you can get probably 3.5 or below.
Okay, great.
You might not get the lowest, but you'll still get, if you think about the last 30 years, if you get something under 4, I mean, just count yourself blessed.
That's very true. Thank you very much.
So, Micah, we appreciate the call.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
You're on Dave Ramsey's plan. You're out of debt, looking to buy a home. But you've been told your entire life you need a credit score. Well, I don't want fear or misinformation to dictate your decisions. Churchill Mortgage is used to working with people just like you. They'll take your personal situation and find the best mortgage option for you. Call Churchill Mortgage today, 855-LOAN-200, or go to churchillmortgage.com/Chris Brown.
This is a paid advertisement. NMLS ID 1591. Equal housing lender, 761 Old Hickory Boulevard, Brentwood, Tennessee, 37027.
Well, folks, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and I am your host, Chris Brown, taking your calls and taking your emails today. The phone number is 866-357-3283. And it looks like this next phone call comes in from St. Charles, Missouri. This is Lizzie. Lizzie, how are you?
I'm great, Chris. How are you?
I'm better every day. How can I help you?
Good. It's an honor to talk to you. When I was born, my grandmother put a little bit of money into a mutual fund for me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I turned 21, she signed that money over to me. And now that I'm 23, I've graduated from school and sitting on quite a bit of student loans. I've been advised by my family and some friends to take that money out of the mutual fund and put it towards my student loans, because then I won't be taxed on it. But then other people are telling me that that is not true, and I was just wondering if you knew what those rules were.
Yeah, you will be taxed on it,
okay.
But I would still do it.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I would still do it. So, how much is it worth?
It's a little over $1,000.
Okay, so you'll probably get about $800, and mm-hmm. I would put that towards your student loans, and you probably saved yourself, I don't know, probably $100 in interest. You know, that $800 is gonna before you were to pay it off anyway. I mean, I love that. I love to speed up the process.
Yeah, it's kinda a good jump start on it.
Yeah, it's kind of silly to be making 6% over here when you're paying 8% on your student loans. So
right, that's very true.
Yeah,
thank you.
So yep, I'm all about it. And you know, make sure you give a big thank you to your family for thinking about you like that.
Oh, of course. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks, Lizzie. All right, folks, got a Twitter question here from Alyssa Beard. She says, husband of family is $100,000 in debt and is asking for financial support to enter into full-time ministry. What is our biblical response? Huh. Did you guys catch that? Okay, you've got this husband and the family's $100,000 in debt, and they're asking for support. Do we support them or do we not? Well, here's the deal. He has a responsibility. That family has a responsibility to steward God's money and to steward their talents and their capacities and their calling to serve in that way. And here, we as the givers, we have a separate calling. It's totally separate, okay, on whether we are going to give to that or not. So let's look at our responsibility, okay? Our filter should be, number one, have I budgeted on this above and beyond gift? Of course, this is above and beyond the tithe to the church, right? Have I budgeted for it? Have I planned for this kind of generosity? Is this fertile soil? That'd be another question. Is there going to be some results? Is there going to be some ROI, some return on investment? You're investing into the kingdom. Is there going to be some return on this? And another question would be, is this something that God's calling me to do? And so you've got to pray about it. Is this just an emotional thing, or is the Holy Spirit really convicting me? Have I done the research? Am I asking questions about the ministry? How's this money going to be put to practice or put into work? You don't need to know every detail, but you do need to dig around a little bit and ask. And is there a good plan on his end, a plan for ministry? Another question is this the right time, right? Is this the right time in our stewardship journey? But the bottom line is we are called to be generous, but we're called to do it in a scalable way. So the whole idea that you've got your responsibility, he has his, but the fact that he's in debt doesn't necessarily disqualify this opportunity for you to pour into him and his pursuit of ministry. Hopefully that helps out quite a bit. Well, folks, I love hearing you guys call and email, and of course, this last Twitter that we received. Love it. So a lot of you guys are tweeting in with your life-changing stories. You guys have seen them on my feed, and you got questions, and I love it, and I hope you're enjoying listening to the answers, but let me ask you something. Have you ever wanted to give somebody a piece of your mind? Well, maybe it's me. Or ever wanted to praise something that you love, here is your chance. I'm giving you the opportunity right now. Now, I hope that your feedback isn't crazy negative, but even if it is, I still want to hear it, okay? After all, Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of the fool seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. So if you want to give me your feedback on the show, I'm ready to listen. And I'd love to hear it. Just head over to stewardship.com today, and you'll find the link to a survey on the homepage and also on today's episode page. Or you can just simply text us. Just text the word stewardship to the number 33444. That's 33444, and we'll send you a link to the survey. Again, text the word stewardship to the number 33444. And even if you give some not-so-great feedback or hard-to-hear feedback, you can qualify at least to win one of our $50 Target gift cards just for telling us what you think, to give us a piece of your mind.
Thank you for joining us on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We want to hear your questions and your success stories, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now back to Chris Brown and True Stewardship.
All right, next on the line, we've got Pat calling in from Washington, Illinois. How you doing, Pat?
Good. How you doing, Chris?
Oh, I'm doing very, very well. How can I serve you?
My question is, I'll be retiring soon, and I'm right now debt-free, except for the house, and I have enough money in the 401k. I have about $300,000 in there. My mortgage is about $130,000 right now.
Okay.
Looking at retiring in about 3 years. And don't know if it's a good idea to take that 401k, pay off the house so I don't have to worry about that when I retire, or keep it. Keep paying payments.
How much is that $300K going to provide you per month?
I'm not even counting on it for my retirement. I have a good retirement of about $83,000 of regular retirement that we coming in every year.
Oh, okay. And how old are you?
I'm 58.
Okay. And you're retiring because of an age, or retiring because of other reasons?
I was going to retire at age 62.
Okay. And that was just a goal for you?
That's just a goal.
Okay. We like to teach people that retirement is not an age, it's a financial number. So what I'm hearing from you is that it's a goal because you've hit a number that you feel comfortable with retiring, not because of some age.
Correct.
Gotcha. Very cool. So how quickly could you pay off the home if you didn't do this, if you didn't cash out the 401k for it?
If I just paid monthly payments, I have about 10 years left on it.
Okay.
But if I start piling extra money up, I'd have to do some figuring on that.
So if you were to pay this off, you'd feel, and have less money in 401k, you'd still feel very stable.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I just ran all the numbers and saw what my bills were going to be and everything. I'll be very stable. Mm-hmm. And especially if I got rid of that, you know, I'm not counting on the 401k for income. It's in case I need it, it's there.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll just keep investing it if I don't, you know, have to use it.
And I'm hearing from you, this is like pull the 401k after you retire, not before, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
I could do it at 59 and a half, which is a year from now,
okay,
and pay it off also. Like I said, I've got 300 there, and it'd take about 130 to pay it off. I know there's going to be a taxes on it, of course.
Yeah, the big thing for me is you are managing risk as much as you're managing numbers. So okay, if you feel good about the position that puts you in after the fact, I have no problems with it. If you look at it strictly from an interest rate thing, you are giving up, you know, whatever, depending on the year, 6 to 12% gains on paying off 3%.
Okay.
So, but that's just numerically. But, you know, everyone listening in, because you're probably listening in, you're thinking about this on several different planes. You've got the numerical part, you've got the risk part, but then you've got the whole spiritual concept of being in bondage to the lender. And you've
correct
got this debt out there. And the Bible says in Romans 13:8, owe no one anything except for the debt to love one another. And being so young, you still got 30, 40 years left. When you free up that mortgage payment, and you can now invest that every month like crazy and even start buying some rental homes and those kind of things with cash. Then you're starting to get rental money in every month. And, you know, which, of course, just to make this very clear for all of our listeners, we don't do rental homes until after you've paid off your primary. So now Pat is going to qualify for that. And I like it, man. I like you paying that thing off. But I definitely wouldn't pay any fees to do it. But once you're at the age, let's do it.
Okay. Sounds great. And I appreciate your help, Chris.
All right. Thank you. Now, I got to thinking about decisions that we make as stewards. And we've got small decisions. We got big decisions to make every day in this walk. And what is the filter of a good steward? You know, we had that Twitter question about, okay, do I help finance this ministry opportunity when they're in debt? And I got to thinking about a possible filter for us when we go to make these decisions. And so I just want to give you five C's, okay, five C's. And of course, I've got a little pastor background, so I've got to do some alliteration for you. but five steps to making a good stewardship decision. And so I don't know if you're in a spot where you can write something down or not, but you always can take advantage of the podcast and listen to it later. And these are five steps to make a good stewardship decision. Okay, and I haven't really built these out entirely. It'll probably be a future teaching here on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. But this is going to get you thinking. So if you're going to make a good stewardship decision, what has to happen first? Well, first, we've got to connect to the source. We've got to connect to God. We've got to be praying. We've got to be worshiping Him. I don't know how you connect to God. Some people, it's quiet time. Some people, it's just taking a walk. Sometimes it's reflecting on nature. Sometimes it's worship. Sometimes it's journaling. But you've got to be connected to the source relationally. You've got to have a relationship with Him. You've got to know the owner. You can't love the owner unless you know Him. You can't know Him unless you love Him. You've got to have this connection. You've got to realize that Psalm 24:1 says that He's the owner, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. And you've got to realize, and I'm not talking about head knowledge, I'm talking about a heart knowledge. I'm talking about embracing the responsibility, the weight, the acceptance, the privilege, the relationship, the responsibility, and the great results that come from being a good steward. So you've got to make sure that you're connected. You've got to realize, okay, 1 Corinthians 4:2 tells me that those who have been entrusted to be managers, well, they must prove faithful. So you've got to connect. The second C is consider the real question. You've got to consider the real question. What is it? You'll hear, if you've listened to this show for some time, you'll realize that a lot of people will call in with one question, but the real question is actually behind the question that's asked. There's something deeper. It's not necessarily about, do I buy the rental house or do I not? It's, why are you in this position where you think you need a rental house? There's something deeper. Is it a relational concern? Is there a health concern? Is there a fear problem? What is it that's behind the question? So you got to consider the real question. A lot of times we are trying to solve problems that aren't really the right problem. So consider the real question is your second C. A third C would be contemplate the options. Okay, you got to think through, what are options? You never just have two options. There's oftentimes an option C, D, E, and F. Many of you call in, you say, hey, Chris, do I pay off my debt or do I save? Well, you know, there could be option C where you do a little bit of both, right? Or do I pay off the house or do I put money in retirement? It's not either or, it could be both. So that's just an example that there are many options out there. You got to think through even obstacles to wisdom. Identify those. Is there some kind of biasness towards one direction? Is there some kind of justification to buy? Chris, should I buy this car or not? Are you just justifying that you need this car? But Chris, I really need this $20,000 truck for my job. Do you need a $20,000 truck or do you need a $1,000 truck? You don't need the $20,000 truck, right? And you also got to, you know, when you're contemplating your options, you got to consider your goals. Where are you headed? What's the vision for your life? What's the mission statement for you and your family? What are your values? You got to consider it through that lens. The fourth C would be comprehend the truth. Comprehend the truth and apply. This is kind of like two little mini steps in one. You got to comprehend the truth, which means you connected to the source before, but now you're going to actually do some research. What does the Bible say about that subject, about that particular decision? You're not just going to pull out one verse. You're going to look at the Bible holistically and say, what does it say about this topic? If you're having trouble with your marriage, man, if I was having trouble with my marriage in this season, you know what I would do? I would find every single passage in the Bible that has to do with marriage, and I would read them and dissect each and every one of them until I went one step further. What does the Bible say about marriage? What does the Bible say about handling conflict? What does the Bible say about my options? Separation, divorce, staying together, are those options? And then you apply. Okay, the Bible says that we're to be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. The Bible says that we're to weigh out wise counsel. Not just reading the word, but then also, hey, calling into the show. Okay, that's looking out for other biblical advice. Maybe it's a pastor. Maybe it's an aunt who's been walking with the Lord for quite some time. But we need to look at the whole counsel of God, and we also need to be looking into wise counsel and looking into the scriptures ourselves. And then when we go to apply, it's not just applying the truth. It's applying it with grace and applying it with love. So if it's a relational thing, it's applying it with grace and without hastiness and making sure that the Bible talks a lot about patience. And then the last step after you've applied is to commemorate God's movement. That's a fifth C, commemorate God's movement, journaling. And what we want to do is we want to leverage the past and we want to maximize the present and the future. That's the life of a steward. You want to leverage the past. You don't want to focus super hyper focus on the past. You want to peek at the past so you can learn from it. But you want to leverage that so you can maximize the present and the future for God's glory. So I don't know if that helps you out a little bit, but those are some five C's that have helped me over the years as I process decisions in my life. Well, folks, it has truly been a pleasure today. Once again, I want to wish you a terrific Labor Day weekend. And we'll be having a show on Monday, so make sure you tune in wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, tune in on Monday. We're right here Monday through Friday, either on the dial, on the iTunes podcast, or at stewardship.com. And don't forget, if you want to give your feedback on this show, you can find a link to the survey at stewardship.com, or just text the word stewardship to 33444, and we will send you the link. Enjoy your weekend, y'all. And remember, steward this weekend His way and for His glory. I promise you, it will be very rewarding, much more rewarding to have the community, but mix it with purpose. God bless.